But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
Like, so let's rhyme it today. Just rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme that's it. Where he just rammed it.
Everybody,
amazing. I don't remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Whose house?
Where? Wow.
Ram it.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Rams Brothers the Pod. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by the other host of this show, Nick. And Nick, got the Cardinals on deck. How are you?
I'm feeling good, Dean. I'm wearing the shirt that you were wearing last week, brought to you by Homage. Yeah, they sent me one too, so it's cool. It's really comfortable. Got a lot of compliments on it today at work. So
you look fantastic. You look ready to talk Rams.
I am, man. I am. I'm ready. People are asking me questions while I was at the gym just before this. They're like, yeah, you know, I don't think the Rams are going to go down 1-2 under Sean McVay. So I've been talking it all day. I'm ready to officially talk about it with you.
Give my
official takes.
There's confidence in Los Angeles. It seems like there is enough reason after we've combed through the Arizona Cardinals, what they did last year, how they ended the season, what they brought to the table so far this year. But first, I want to start off with our first sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, events, with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every single league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make sure your first sports bet is with BetOnline. Use promo code BELIEVE50, B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game begins. I'm going to go ahead and flash this on the screen real quick, the promo code, so you could see it. Hopefully you're watching us on YouTube. Believe, B-L-E-A-V 50. Okay, let's get into it. The Arizona Cardinals, Nick. How do you feel about them so far?
Okay, yeah, I was about to ask you the same thing. They took a game and a half to get into the season, which is the Aaron Rodgers method of getting ready for the year, where you just chalk the first game up for loss if it's a somewhat tough opponent. And then you kind of, you know, you figure it out in the next couple games. I don't like what I see from Arizona. If I was a fan of them, I would be worried. Even when they're like coming back and rallying, and they cut to Kyler on the side, and he's got like a deadpan, like almost like jimming the camera look, like he's like out of it, kind of. So, you know, we're gonna deep dive into it, but I feel confident. Rams are 10-1 against them in the last like 4 or 5 years, so. You can't go in this game thinking that it's not San Francisco, right? It's not even Seattle. You know, it's Arizona, a team that Sean McVay has been able to dominate. So,
right. And it's, you know, they start off the season with a loss to the Chiefs, 44-27.
They were never even in that game.
And they weren't even in the game. 44-21 weren't even in the game. And then they beat the Raiders in overtime, 29-23, which brings them to a 1-1 record. But they've been outscored 40-7. Nick, in the first half, and opponents have scored on 8 of their first 10 possessions. So opportunity to start fast, opportunity to start the same way you did against Atlanta with a scripted series, 11.5 personnel, Ben Skoranek is fullback, whatever you want. There's an opportunity to get started fast. And the Cardinals have only scored once on their first 9 possessions in the first half so far. So extremely, extremely slow starts. I think they've only scored 7 points total in the first half in the first 2 games. So the Arizona Cardinals are the definition of starting slow. And everything that I listened to, everything that I read about the Arizona Cardinals coming from the press, the media, the fans, they need to start fast. So in my opinion, that's going to allow them to press a little bit. They're going to try to get a little bit creative on that first series, maybe try to get Kyler out in space. You know, they could do a number of things that we'll talk about in this episode. that I think will allow them for to attempt to start fast, at least. But the Cardinals, the Jets, and the Panthers are the three teams who haven't scored in the first quarter this year. So if you're a Rams fan, you want to start fast, you want to keep your foot on the gas, the same way that we saw them tackle the Arizona or the Atlanta Falcons in the first half of last week, and let them make mistakes. I think that's kind of the biggest thing with this team is they're vulnerable to making mistakes in the first half, especially.
Yeah. I don't like their just how they use Kyler and how he can just kind of play backyard football on you. That's the one thing that just scares me. But Aaron Donald's kind of been his kryptonite. And just from the last time we played them, that was the confidence that, like, this Arizona team gave our Rams team the confidence to go and win a Super Bowl. I mean, you dominate a playoff team like that at home. You really have an opportunity to just keep the entire thing, like the entire playoff run, in your power and in your destiny. And that's what they were able to do. This new team, it just feels old. I don't like Zach Ertz. Watt. Yeah. It's just like
J.J. Watt, right? Understandable.
Yeah, they need to I think Kyler is a fantastic quarterback. They haven't really given him the tools to really explode. And
yeah, well, the argument there is, like, if they have Hollywood, they have D-Hop, and they have A.J. Green, and they have Zach Ertz, and then potentially another pass catcher, they could have what they need personnel-wise to be able to support Kyler. But totally agree with you right now. It's not there.
No. And then just, like, the fact that they need to start hot, which you spoke on last year, it feels like the first time we played them, it was week four. We were 3-0, and we were going to that game. We were kind of writing it off as a W.
They were too.
Yeah, because they were really hot at that
point. Started 7-0.
But I went to that game, and I remember just thinking, like, oh yeah, like, this is absolutely we own this team. Like, put the house on it. Rams are going to win. Yeah, and that was their first loss, and it was an ugly one. And I remember I texted you, I'm at the game live, and Arizona scored. I was like, Dean, live bet right now.
Live bet the Rams, $300.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But don't give away my units. Don't give away my unit size. I'm
sorry to give away the size of your unit. But the Rams, they've won 9 of the last 10 matchups. So that means over the last 10 games, the Rams have played the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, our mom is going to text me, and she's going to say, you better not be putting $300 on these games, Nicholas. That's not how she sounds, by the way.
I mean,
Mom, I love you.
There will be enough reason. There will be enough reason in this episode, I think, for you to be able to put $300 on this game. Their one win in the last 10 matchups was in week 4 of last year. And the Rams are traveling to Arizona. The Cardinals have lost their final 5 home games last year. They lost the home opener to the Chiefs as well. So I believe that makes it 6 straight home losses. It has been almost a full calendar year. And I don't want to laugh in case the worst happens, but it's been almost a full calendar year. The last time they won a home game, it was against the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow.
Houston Texans on October 24th, 2021. So 11 months since they've won at home. So it's hard to believe. Like, I don't even know how that happens for a team that started the season 7-0. I don't know if they're 8-0, but it's bizarre because a team that has veteran ability or veteran leadership, right? You don't expect that kind of team to lay an egg every single time they're at home when they have an opportunity in prime time, when they have a big game on the slate. And it's been such a long period of time. Like, that might be enough reason for Arizona to get up in this game. So you don't want to write off that specifically in case they use that as fuel to be able to, to start fast or to get their offense going or to continue establishing what they think they have in personnel groupings with their receivers, their tight ends, and their quarterback, and their running backs especially. So we'll dig into that. Let's start with Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
He had 5 carries in the second half of that Raiders game, and it was the difference. Running, staying alive, creating something out of nothing. Like, Nick, to your point, that's his entire game. He has plenty of arm talent, but what makes him special and what he did in the pocket and out of the pocket in this past week against the Raiders, he evades pass rushers, right? And there's not a lot of designed runs to Kyler Murray. Like, a lot of the time, he's just going to scramble forever. in some scenarios for 82 yards and then make a play in the last second. And sometimes the play design will just call for him to get out in space for the pocket to move so that he could at least have the option to do something. But the question is, how much do you have to rely on Kyler Murray's legs? Like if that's your offense, then what are you left with?
He's not a pure runner of the football. He's like Russ, where he scrambles to make a play with his arm.
Yeah.
So it's just getting to him so he doesn't have that opportunity. And I feel like last year, the second time around when we played them and it had that great Aaron Donald, like bye-bye moment, not the playoffs in the regular season, sure. Second time we played them, he was going down easier. Like Donald was coming at him and he would just kind of like fall.
And that's what happened against Kansas City this year so far.
Yeah. If you hit him hard enough early, he's not going to be as, you know, happy feet heavy. So I think that's the key. Maybe bring the blitz a little early. Just to kind of like to rough him up a little bit. I'm sure Raheem's got something interesting cooking. But our team, and I know we're not talking about the Rams yet, but our team is designed, I think, for continuous offensive possessions. So even if they do score fast, I have confidence that the Rams should be able to at least keep up. Unlike with Buffalo, because they're Buffalo's defense with Von Miller.
It's almost a completely different animal right now with Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Like they are a different animal and the same beast as Kobe.
Yeah, Bryant. But I mean, again, you catch a team that's a different animal and a different beast, whatever the hell you want to call them, in the first couple weeks of the season. The goal of the season is to be that team in December, January. That, again, Buffalo's problem, the Rams offense will get to. But with Kyler Murray specifically, like you said, Nick, if you make him uncomfortable in the pocket the way Kansas City did in week one and the Rams did in the playoffs, that's exactly what they were capable of doing with that pass rush, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald. Like they were just in his pocket the whole night. And when you're only pressured on 14% of dropbacks like he was against the Raiders, which was one of the lowest figures across all of week two, and he was only sacked once and hit five times, like you got to be able to rough him up a little bit more. And whether that's generating pressure, whether that's calling an intricate blitz, or whether that's just, you know, coming up with something creative that Raheem Morris is capable of doing, just to be able to get him on the ground early and have him make mistakes. Because that clearly, Nick, to your point, the gym face that he makes where he's just sitting there like, or he'll just look right at the camera. There's something that I don't know if it's in him or if it's just his demeanor or his personality that is off-putting when he's behind in games. And that's the exact face that you want to create.
Yeah. Just because you were talking about last year, isn't it funny how integral The Rock is to the Rams Super Bowl story last year?
please tie this loop somehow.
I will. Don't worry. I'll get there. Okay. The Manning cast, they have The Rock on during during the Monday night playoff game. And The Rock is like, this is where the Cardinals need to rally together and bring all the guys together and have a real opportunity. And Kyler's got to do something amazing here. And then he's like getting sacked and then he gets hit and throws up this lollipop pick six. And The Rock is like, Oh,
and Eli's like, oh, no.
Yeah. It was amazing. So, and then The Rock, obviously, the Rams have come back to the Super Bowl. Like that was, you know, that like he just made himself a part of this team somehow.
Well, not anymore. Not after week one. I don't want him on the field anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't need you to be promoting Black Adam while you're there for a Rams game.
He's been promoting Black Adam for the last 15 years.
No, for real. I was in high school, and I remember we talked about how he was going to be a superhero in high school. That's how long the news has been out. Yeah, I'm 27, turning 28.
Yeah. But the offensive scheme, tying it back.
Good tie back.
You have The Rock coming off the edge. You know, that's something that's a bonus. The Rams have added players on the edge that could potentially, you know, maybe it could reap benefits on Sunday. I don't think they're going to be part of the roster, maybe playing up to speed the way that they should be. But you want to have players coming off the edge, players that can generate a pass rush against somebody like Kyler Murray, get in his pocket early. But their scheme, the Cardinals, because they haven't scored a point in the single quarter and they only have seven in the first two halves of the first two games, like you combine the ability to run the ball with designed runs, RPOs, zone reads, like Kyler Murray could shake free any moment. But with an offense that's predicated around stuff like that, you come out with an average of 6 yards per attempt, which is Kyler what Kyler Murray had last week. Mariota probably would have been in that same boat if it weren't for some of the shots that he took later on in the game. But the offense, they don't necessarily move the ball in chunks because they don't have this personnel. James Conner goes out with an ankle injury, and Hollywood Brown is their main pass catcher, and AJ Green doesn't really come around until the end of the game. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces in the offense because they don't move the ball in chunks, and you'll see this probably on Sunday. It's not Murray's legs that are causing the damage necessarily. It's Murray escaping time in the pocket, looking around, nothing open downfield, and then he'll take off after that. So it's not like a designed run. It's not a designed RPO where Kyler Murray's taking off, you know, up the B gap for 57 yards away that Lamar Jackson would.
Right. Yeah.
And their offense, they're most successful right now when it's on the ground. And to my point about you know, how they're getting other personnel involved in the pass game, like, when you're dominant on the ground as a whole, they rushed for 143 yards on 28 carries, 5.1 yards per attempt, and 2 touchdowns. Like, it's really, really tough to win games that way if you fall behind at any point. And that's where I feel like the Rams could get an advantage if they are able to start fast. But they need Kyler to be able to take some shots and stretch that secondary, because, I mean, it's Hollywood Brown, Zach Ertz, Greg Dortch is their leading receiver, but Hollywood Brown and Zach Ertz both had 11 targets each against the Raiders last week, and it continues to increase week over week, so you're seeing a trend there. But no Antoine Wesley or Rondale Moore hasn't practiced yet this week against the Raiders either. Both of them didn't play. And we haven't seen the same kind of distribution with the ball in the pass game without DeAndre Hopkins. Like, if he gets 15 to 16, 17 targets, meaning like Hollywood Brown hasn't taken over that role fully yet. Like, he'll get maybe 10, 11 targets, but they don't look like they're necessarily on the same page. Remember, Murray took a deep shot that he missed on. He took another one. I think he threw in a double coverage. Like, there's not a ton of consistency and chemistry there yet. But
Right. People, yeah. And then people are, you know, on the Cardinals brothers are probably saying that Stafford and Robinson don't have that connection yet.
Sure. You can play double.
I think that, like, he's going to get close with Hollywood Brown, and I feel like it's almost lucky that we have caught them early in the schedule like this.
I'll tell you,
that the Arizona game, the game in Arizona, is now and not later down the line, because I just think this team has all the pieces. If you look at this offense, they have the pieces to be a substantially good team, an over 8.5 win team, which is what I took them at, win percentage over 8.5. But I, you know, they still need to, like, yeah, they need to find the groove. Exactly what you were saying, to your point.
Yeah. And I don't know if the head coach has the ability to scheme up that kind of offense, right? Because when Hollywood Brown, if he's often in the X outside of the numbers, and they do the same stuff that they used to do with DeAndre Hopkins, where they would have a 3-by-1 set on one side, and then obviously DeAndre Hopkins alone on the other side, and they'll just line him up on the outside of the numbers and let him run wild, which is kind of the same thing that you'll see with Hollywood Brown. And it's that much easier to defend a player when you line him up consistently on the same side of the field. That's why the Cardinals brothers, when they're doing their podcast, they can't necessarily say the same thing about Allen Robinson, because Allen Robinson was outside of the numbers. He was inside of the numbers. He was in the slot. He was coming out of the backfield catching passes. When you have that ability to scheme up an offense, there's that much more confidence you have in your coach and your offense as a whole week over week. And I just remember a play, I don't know if it was week four. I think it was week four of last year with AJ Green and David Long Jr., that nobody had any idea was coming. David Long Jr. specifically had no idea that it was coming. And it was directly out of the Rams playbook. Like, Murray was an empty. It was a 3-by-2 set, so 3 receivers on one side, 2 on the other side. And it was one of the most creative play designs by Cliff Kingsbury against the Rams in his lifetime. Like, he had a deep crossing route that was clearing out a safety. He had AJ Green in the slot flying on a mismatch on David Long Jr., but he's not consistent. Cliff Kingsbury will probably tell you this himself, but he's not consistent enough on a week-to-week basis to be able to build an intricate game plan around his current personnel. Like, they'll get a little bit better week-to-week, but I think just despite moments like throughout the game where he'll come up with a good play or come up with the right call because there's a specific matchup that he sees in game, that's not consistent enough with this offense. And just because Kyler Murray's pretty good, he bails him out of a ton of situations.
Yeah.
So the scheme in general is very interesting, but it's half of what Sean McVay's is.
Yeah. I know Sean McVay is very close with Kiff, or Cliff. I know that he almost brought him on to the Rams team before he signed a head coaching deal himself. I think what he does can get very experimental and fun. But you're right. A lot of that has to do with Kyler making it kind of up as he goes.
Sure.
It's like, okay, if this dies out and you make time on your own, then he's going to be able to come across the top because the safety has been pulled to Zach Ertz down low or something like that.
You know? Somebody's crashing to help underneath or in the middle of the field. Yeah, totally.
And I can't tell if that really makes Cliff's job easier or harder, you know, because it's like, do I have to design this play to last for like 5 seconds potentially because I have a guy that can make it last that long?
You know what's crazy, Nick? I don't even know if he designed that play. Like, that could have been A.J. Green, 11 years in the league, saying to himself, like, last second, signaling over to Kyler, like, David Long's in front of me. I'm going deep.
Yeah.
You know? It might not even be Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing with Pete Carroll. This whole time we were like, how are we, like, Russ is just continuously bailing out Pete Carroll, who's like freaking out like he designed the play. And it's like, no, he did not. Russ was able to make something work because he bought you 14 seconds somehow. Oh my God. So many times with the Jeff Fisher Rams would you watch. Yeah. Like he had like 30, like you'd watch the clock and 30 seconds would go by and he's still standing up on his feet looking for somebody. And then it's like an end zone bomb.
That was weird. I think everything you just said was verbatim what I was going to say. I don't know if you saw me about to like pronounce the P in Pete Carroll.
And no,
so weird. But very, very, very good segue, because I was just going to talk about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, because that was his offense for 6 years was, I'm going to bail out my head coach. And then what do you know? The relationship doesn't work after Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll seemed to be sour, which was bizarre. There's nothing out of Russ's camp that makes it seem like he did not enjoy his time in Seattle. And yet Pete Carroll's the one who's like, yeah, you know, we know this guy. And, you know, fucking, sorry. I didn't mean to curse like that. But
do your thing. It's a podcast. Who cares?
Yeah.
Running backs.
Disney. Our sponsor, Disney cares.
Disney may care. The running backs, I think, is interesting. Especially if you're a James Conner fantasy owner like myself.
Gross.
Yeah, not a great situation to be in. Last year, he might get a touchdown in every game. So Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin. Call them the Cardinals bros if you want, but they're going to replace of James Conner. Darrell Williams, I think, is similar to James Conner, the way that he can, you know, do kind of the same things, catch passes. Eno Benjamin's more of a Chase Edmonds replacement, more of a speed guy. You know, you could put him in specific situations on third down. So I think they've gotten pretty creative with some of the depth that they've pulled in there. I think it was a smart move to bring in Darrell Williams because he's capable of filling in for James Conner, who's may deal with an ankle injury for the next 3 or 4 weeks. You never know. And Eno was good in week one, and Williams was good in week two. So we might get a dose of both of them. And if James Conner is healthy, I thought that this stat was pretty crazy. 11 touchdowns, 9 rushing and 2 receiving against the NFC West last year. Most among a player against the division last year. I thought that would have been Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
I thought it would have been Debo Samuel. It was James Conner.
Yeah, that would have been my like fifth guess. I probably would have put Kittle above him, maybe.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's a pretty crazy stat. So if he's not able to go, you're going to get a dosage of Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin. But, you know, if James Conner can go, it might work to their benefit because they've kind of had some success utilizing those two running backs in a rotation. So we'll see. Moving over to the defense, not a ton here. I don't think that there's a ton to talk about in terms of the Arizona Cardinals' defense. But I think the biggest story coming out of that Raiders game is how the hell did Davante Adams only have 2 receptions for 12 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets? I was like, how is that even thinking to myself, Davante Adams' family is there. He scored a touchdown. And then, Nick, I don't know if you saw, but he went through the legs and then almost jammed it on the goalpost. But
wow,
that's not legal anymore. You can't touch the goalpost. So he just went through the legs and then kind of laid it up Jared Goff style. But his whole family was there watching the game. I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a massive day. And like, it seemed like on safety help on every single play. It was impressive.
We could have really used a little Raiders help, you know, make them 0-2. I guess they'd maybe be a little feistier against us.
Yeah.
But still, like, come on, Raiders. You're really going to blow that? Hunter Renfrow, you're going to fumble the ball twice? All you had to do was get the first down. But then also Derek Carr, dude's in, like, triple coverage. Like, what are you doing? I mean, I liked Derek Carr a lot. He has been he's looked terrible this year.
Terrible. It's I think it was a tough evaluation with the defense so far. Like, first of all, it's a small sample size, obviously only two games. But the first game, they just got exposed by Patrick Mahomes, right? 44 points on the board. It was easy work for him. And then the next game, it's Derek Carr. You don't even know who you're going to get week to week. You might get three touchdowns and no picks. You might get two touchdowns and four picks. You have no idea what you're going to get with Derek Carr. So, I mean, I think like their safeties, if you look at their safeties, Buda Baker, it's a good player. The other guy, Jalen Thompson on the other side, also a good player. They have Murphy Jr. Byron Murphy Jr. is a decent player. Marco Wilson is on the opposite side. I think he's a fairly new face there. And then it's J.J. Watt, Allen Lawrence, and Golden on the defensive line. Like, their front seven isn't anything intimidating. Maybe a couple of years ago with J.J. Watt when he was healthy. But, I mean, these are names that are not necessarily recognizable to the common fan.
Yeah. I did some digging myself today, because I have Daryl Henderson in fantasy, and I'm thinking if I should start him or not.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see the Cardinals run defense. I saw that they ranked 13th in yards allowed.
Yeah, but again, that could be skewed because the Kansas City threw for 500 yards in the first game and hardly ran the ball, you know?
Right. And then I saw that right below them is us, ranked 14th. So that made me a little worried, but I still think Henderson is a good start. But then, Malcolm Brown. Have we not talked about this yet? Like,
I mean, it's coming.
All right. Let's just hold off. Let's get through the Cardinals.
Yeah, but I mean, Nick, to your point, like, and we'll get into this. Like, Marcus Golden, edge rusher, he's ranked 99th out of 103 edge rushers. He's got a grade of 43.9 on PFF. Not a great player.
Top 100.
Yeah, Rashad Lawrence is pretty decent, and Zach Allen is also decent on the inside. But those are going to be your two run stuffers. And then you obviously have Vigil and then Vallejo and Collins as the three linebackers. So, you know, there's a potential for those guys to step up and make plays. But the way that we're getting second level blocks with this potentially new offensive scheme, new old recycled offensive scheme from Sean McVay, plus Malcolm Brown, plus Daryl Henderson looking like he's 20 pounds stronger. I don't know. I think there's faith to be had.
Yep. It's certainly you're certainly knocking on the door of a good run game.
For sure. And you know, the offensive line could potentially be solidifying itself. So as we get to the Rams, how about we break for a second and have a sip of cold water? What do you think?
Oh, halftime. Yeah. Why don't we talk about our new sponsor, Liquid Death? There's a new water brand out there, and you may have heard of it and you may not have, but we're here to tell you about it if you've heard of it or you haven't, either way. It looks like a tall boy, but it's actually just mountain spring water that's available in still, sparkling, and three flavors. It's Liquid Death. Liquid Death. You know, that I recently found out is Wiz Khalifa's company. Did you know that?
Are you sure?
Somebody at work told me that, so I'm going to stick with it.
Maybe he's a partner?
Maybe. But I think this is really rad because I've been drinking Liquid Death for like a year now. And now that they came to us and they're like, hey, maybe let's collab. And
hey, I was like,
Yeah, that's how everybody talks. Everybody, my impression is, hey, what's going on? But there's something about drinking water out of a can. I mean, really, it's completely unique. It's insanely refreshing. It gets so cold in there. You can fool your mother, fool your grandmother, even give it to your daughter. And give it to her in one of those paper bags so people think that she's sipping on a beer, but it's just actually water. But you can go get Liquid Death at your local Whole Foods, Ralph's, Albertsons, Vons, 7-Eleven right down the street, my local bodega. Find Liquid Death at a retailer near you. with the store locator tool at www.liquiddebt.com/LAFB. Grab some merch, check it out, go to the link, click away. Really cool stuff. I signed up for their little text thing, and yeah, I'm going to get some merch, and I'm going to shotgun a Liquid Death when the Rams win next week.
Beautiful. I think it's a regular slash. I don't know if it's a backslash. Is that a regular slash?
There is no regular slash. It's back or front.
There's two. No. Yeah. That one's the front one.
The one that goes this. Oh, crap. Oh, crap. I'm like reverse.
Too many Liquid Deaths for you, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So to the Rams. Oh, who are the Rams in week three?
This week.
Nick, you tell me.
Well,
Malcolm Brown, who are
yeah, we? I alluded to it. We got Super Bowl champ Kendall Blanton and our favorite CJ Anderson clone, Malcolm Brown, are back. I saw all the signings, and I'm not going to lie to you, Dean. It looks a little desperate.
I didn't think you should go there yet. It's just injuries.
My gut reaction to seeing picking up a third running back that will definitely get snaps and carries in this game. So doesn't make me feel great about where we are, at least in the run game. And then Blanton makes sense because who was it? Hopkins got suspended.
Yeah. Hopkins suspended 3 games for violating the substance abuse policy.
Yikes.
Yeah. Not good. Nobody knows what substance. So doesn't
maybe,
help.
Maybe it was Liquid Death.
Could have been. To your point, like Malcolm Brown, Kendall Blanton, I don't think it feels desperate. I just feel like Sean McVay knows, like, if we're going to establish a run game and like this is the kind of personality we're going to take on, we're going to be able to marry the run and the pass, then you need a third running back that's capable of taking carries in case one of your two guys goes down. Like, if Darrell Henderson has to come out with a low body injury or Cam Akers isn't playing the way that he should in Sean McVay's eyes, you have Malcolm Brown. You know, so it's and Kendall Blanton too. It's really just from a depth chart perspective. Like, you almost need two tight ends on the depth chart. The Rams would be the only team in the league to carry just one. So it wouldn't necessarily make sense. Although they do have quasi players, right? You could probably qualify Jacob Harris as a tight end who might be active this weekend. Ben Skoranek could be a tight end or a fullback or whatever.
Yeah. I was about to say Skoranek.
So yeah, it's interesting. But in the last 3 days, the Rams have signed Tack McKinsley, an edge rusher, who I think will definitely contribute.
Tack, the power of juju.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the reference, but yes.
That's okay. Someone will.
Someone will. Zach Van Valkenburg. I was thinking of Unva Lan Koopa or whatever the names are in Mario Kart.
Ludwig Van Koopa.
There you go. See, I need my Mario expert to jump on the scene here. Zach Van Valkenburg is an edge rusher. He's on the practice squad. Matt Shakura, he's a center. Odey Aboshi. Odey has starting experience. I believe it was with the Chargers and with the Lions at one point at guard.
So definitely the Lions. I recognize that name.
Yeah, if anybody goes down, he's almost an instant plug and play. I think that speaks to how they feel about Bobby Evans also, right? Like Alaric Jackson, or Alaric Jackson, as I've been mispronouncing his name. I saw him in an interview today. He is that next man up. Like, if Bobby Evans was supposed to be there, like, they kept him. I honestly think they kept him on the roster to have experience at that position, and they can't even get him on the field. And you bring in somebody like Odey, who's more of a seasoned player, has starting experience, could fill in at guard if, God forbid, something else happens. We're in a good spot.
Yeah.
And then Sean Jolly, defensive back. He also plays slot. So it was really interesting. Durant, Hill, and David Long Jr. doesn't always play in the slot. They're all hurt right now. Like, they're all day-to-day, week-to-week.
That would be the argument against the desperation.
Sure. Yeah. And you have to bring, like, Sean Jolly is not a player that's highly coveted across the league. I think it was a Browns practice squad player.
Well, neither is Malcolm Brown.
And apparently to the Browns, neither was Troy Hill. But, you know, they're kind of looking into how much depth do you potentially need at a specific position. And obviously that slot corner, like, you can get taken advantage of pretty quick. Like, just by rotating players into that position, if you're out of position or there's a player that doesn't have experience there, you can get exposed. So all three of those position groups that we named, edge, center, our offensive line and defensive back are all currently thin due to injury. Van Jefferson, this is just an unfortunately long injury report, but we'll go through it. Van Jefferson is week to week. And I don't know, Nick, like, is that a loophole to avoid the injured reserve?
I think they really wanted him to play this week because he usually pops off against Arizona. And I actually drafted him in my league, in the league that we're in together, hoping that he was going to be able to play this week because I have Renfro as my flex. And I really wanted to put Jefferson in there, and it's a shame.
It would have been
you. It did. I don't want to see Skronik line up again as a receiver. I'm sorry. I know you're
only as a fullback.
Fullback is fine. I actually liked what he did as a fullback. But he can't spread the field, and he just scares me.
He can help to spread the field. He just can't stretch it. Like, he's not. And even if they send him, like, their rate at completing passes to Ben Skronik down the field of over 35 yards is 0% so
far. Oh, my God. I know I bring this up too much.
I understand.
But the flashbacks I get with that kid just be, ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game. Or maybe it wasn't the NFC Championship. One of the San Francisco games, he dropped a ball that was perfectly in the end zone.
Everybody remembers. I know. Let's not drag him through the mud. He's a good player, and he's helping build this
run. Athlete, though, right? Like, part of the game.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like, you, I know how you feel as a Rams fan. Like, you want to see them be able to run the ball. You don't just want to see a one-dimensional offense with Stafford and Kupp. It gets frustrating, especially when Stafford has to force something and throw interceptions.
Oh my God, yeah.
Ben Skoranek, though, coming in at fullback, first of all, you have to have somebody there that's athletic enough and willing enough to be able to play that position. But just to be able to continue to evolve your offense or devolve it back into what it once was, you know, simplify it, establish a run game, establish a scheme, come prepared with an identity and get somebody out on the lead blocking for somebody like Cam Akers or Darrell Henderson, because it only takes one extra block in the second level to be able to spring somebody free. And if Skronik's the willing guy, if Allen Robinson's the willing guy, if Cooper Kupp's the willing guy, like, those guys all block their asses off. And that's just my only thing is that's how you earn time with Sean McVay. So it's like, how could you hate a player who has just flat out seventh round pick earned all of his time on the field? That's my only issue with Rams fans. I love you otherwise.
I just think you have to earn it as a wide receiver by catching the ball, which
sure, but it's
not that much of a, you know, crazy thought. And
catch the ball. Give him some more time. He'll catch the ball.
Yeah, it's sure.
Before we get back into this,
Rams Super Bowl champ team has little room for people that are not up to the standards of winning and being important in big games.
Yeah.
And they cut people when they're not there. And yes, he has made a case for himself, but a lot of Rams fans will say that he has done some stuff. Had they had lost the Super Bowl, I would never forgive him.
But think about the potential future with what you could do having a larger playbook.
I don't see him in the future because you have Robinson Kupp and hopefully OBJ.
Right. Exactly. But if for whatever reason, one of those players has to rotate off of the field and you could mix in a play, a different concept that keeps the defense on their toes, the same way that Buffalo did in the first week of the season against us. You know what I mean? You could just rotate in a different scheme, a different personnel grouping while Beckham is catching his breath and, you know, pull out a 25-yard chunk play.
Right.
So you're continuously adding layers to the playbook. And like, I remember going back like to Gerald Everett and when he was the fullback in this offense, who I think if he was asked to play fullback in this offense right now, he would be huffing and puffing, especially based on what we saw the week prior in the Chargers.
I just can't think of Gerald Everett. I can't not think of the quote he had when he went to Seattle and he was like, "Oh, things are different here. They're ready to win." And then Seattle was just like, I mean, good for him now. He's on another LA team that's actually good.
Yeah.
But that just makes me happy when somebody leaves and then they shit talk the Rams.
Yeah.
And then they just don't do good because it's like, why would you – like, you came from an amazingly led organization that clearly has done a lot. Like, even Kevin O'Connell kind of made me mad when he was like, you know, Minnesota's a football town. was like, shocked.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff said the same thing about Detroit, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess that's...
You say
see
that.
Now, see, now I'm immediately... I'm like, no, but Jared can say it.
Yeah, no, it's in defense.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go back to Jared Goff for a second because it ties into the evolution of the Sean McVay offense. There have been books written about Sean McVay's offense. You can go back to the 2018 season, and there is a book called, I think, I don't know if it's called 11 Personnel. I don't know if it's called the Rams' 2018 offense, but we had Taylor Colst on the show. He essentially drew out every single play, right? Like, first it was play action, it was rollouts, it was inside, outside, stretch zones, motions, misdirections with Goff and Gurley and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And it was such a fun offense. Like, it really was. The jet motions and everything that you saw, just everything that Sean McVay brought to the table that was creative was so much fun. And then it evolves into Matthew Stafford essentially in empty, in crunch time, operating in his own capacity when he has to. And now it's Ben Skowronek as a fullback, 11 and a half personnel, right? So what offense, I'll ask you this, Nick, are we going to see on Sunday? I think it's going to be a little bit more of the same.
Like same of what we've been seeing so far?
I think it's going to be the same thing from what we've seen against Atlanta. Like, I think it's going to be another level of that.
I feel like this offense isn't the same as last year's, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like pick apart, deep shot, pick apart.
Yeah, they don't have any, single deep completed pass yet this season.
Mm-mm. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for 2021 Rams that were able to, really open up the field and get something deep with hopefully Robinson. But
yeah,
because that's not Kupp's MO. Kupp's going to get the yak, you know, get the yards after the carry.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. And it's like that's the way, that's the nature of how teams are trying to defend the Rams now too, because they know that there are explosive plays. Like Mahomes is a magician. You could defend him with a cover two shell all day, but he's eventually going to break it. He might throw a pass that, you know, hits a defender in the face and they almost drop it, or they catch it, pick it off. And then he might throw the next pass 65 yards in the air and make it perfect. So that's kind of what you're dealing with in that situation.
Like, I think that's what is halting them from being where they were last year and is making Stafford make these, like, at least last year when he threw an interception, it was essentially a punt, you know, yeah. Like this year, because they're dinking and dunking so down low, These picks are becoming close to pick sixes, you know, or at least setting the offense up in great position. So I just want to see them air it out more. I want to see a couple more deep shots. But yeah, that's why it hurts that, I mean, for multiple reasons why it hurts that we don't have OBJ back.
I know. And, you know, to me, it's not as much. And I want the big plays. It's the most exciting part about football. But it's not, if they're not getting the big plays, I want to see variety in play calling. Like, that, at the very least, like if they're not getting big plays, that's fine. But I don't want to see like a scaled back version of an offense because Sean McVay doesn't feel like he has the right personnel. Like, get creative and go back to some of the old plays that you've utilized. Like,
creative runs, jet sweeps. Like, come on.
Right. Emotions and getting players in space and getting lead blockers and lining people up in different positions. It's what we talk about really every week if the Rams have an off week, and they seem to come back and make the adjustment. I just remember in 2019, like, you know, different pre-snap stuff, different motions and everything, but just the idea of a fullback adds another concept to their run scheme.
Right, but they don't have a true blue fullback, let's be real.
No, of course. No, I'm not saying Ben Skowronek is Mike Allstott by any means, but I mean, he's like 6'3", 225 pounds. It doesn't look like him whatsoever, but he's willing to block. And when you could marry some of those concepts together, we talked about this a little bit with Atlanta. Like, when you could marry the run and the pass together, you could put out a similar concept on the field, a similar formation. And instead of calling a run in that formation, you call a pass play, and it keeps defenders on their toes. And that's the danger. That's the look that you need to be able to build simultaneously to then open up the pass game that you want to see.
Right. All right. And yeah, I think they're clearly capable of it, but will we see that? I also wouldn't mind if we just have a Daryl Henderson game, you know?
Yeah. I'm just afraid that this team is never going to be the team that could rush for like 200 yards in a game.
Yeah, I know. But that's the bad, like, then you can't hold on the leads.
Well, yeah.
But last year they were only able to hold on the leads to teams like Jacksonville. So it's right. You're not like you need to be good down to the wire, but you don't need to hold on to a lead to win every game.
No, but Nick, like to your point, like if they rushed for 143 yards on 28 carries, 5.1 yards per carry and 2 touchdowns, which is what the Cardinals did against the Raiders. I mean, it doesn't matter how you win the game. If that's what the game plan has presented to you, if that's the matchups you're seeing, if that's the personnel you're going up against. Yeah, that works for me. I just don't know if they're capable of doing it.
Yeah.
That's the fear.
Maybe Malcolm Brown brings something new. Because I think he gets carries in this game. I don't think you bring him in right now if he's not getting carries in this game.
Yeah, as much as I want him to bring something new to the table, you and I both know exactly what he is.
Yeah.
He is, I mean, in the goal. I mean,
but how about it? Last week I'm talking about how great it would be to have like a Sony Michel type bowling ball. And that's exactly what Malcolm Brown was for so many years for the Rams.
You said on a podcast like 2 weeks ago that you wanted Malcolm Brown back.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've got some Rams insiders listening.
Maybe we do.
Some people close to the team.
Huh. How about that?
We may.
I think that's pretty much all we have in terms of the Rams.
Should we pass it off to Nick and his picks?
Yeah, let's pass it off. I think one other thing right before we pass it off too. Stafford, keep him clean. Offensive line, obviously major focal points. That needs to be repeated. Only sacked once, 2 quarterback hits against Atlanta. And then Cooper Kupp, weird stat. And I'm going to get it out, and then we're going to throw it away. Sound good?
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp was held to 64 receiving yards and no touchdowns, which was his lowest yards total of the year against the Cardinals in week 4 of last year. So when the Cardinals are rolling, their defensive backs are making plays. They're making plays. And Justin Pugh did a pretty good job with Aaron Donald in that game, kept them somewhat quiet. So that just, I mean, early season miscues and, you know, getting your groundings. I just feel like the Rams are in a better position at this point to run through the Arizona Cardinals because Cliff Kingsbury ain't got shit on us.
Yeah. No, he really doesn't. He had one game, and of course that was the game I bet on them as heavy as I did.
Well,
speaking of betting, why don't we go into Nick's picks? You ready?
I am ready. Just give me 1 second. I think there's is there a new song?
Yeah, but let me set it up.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So welcome to another great week of Nick's Picks, everybody. Our sponsor our new sponsors got together with our old sponsors, and they did a little dance, and Liquid Death helped us, an homage, helped us crumble up some extra money together to pitch another new theme song, trying to figure out how this one will play. Diehard Rams Brothers fans will remember it as long ago as the 2018 season when we weren't even on Apple Pods, and we were on, Dean, what was the name of that service that we used? I don't even remember. You
know, we used to record 15-minute episodes, and then it would vanish from
there. Oh, my God. It would be gone, and then we'd call each other and be like, it's gone. What do we do?
And fast forward to 5 years later, what the hell are we doing still?
I don't know. But, like, look, we spruced up the theme song. Why don't we, Dean, why don't you play it for everybody? Dean has not heard it, so let's hear the new the new and improved Nick's Picks theme. Hey, we're the Rams Brothers, and we talk about sports. Only one sport, that sport is football. Well, hey, it's the Rams Brothers. Now it's time for Nick's Picks. Come join us on these wonderful picks. Oh, yeah, probably gonna bet on Goff. Cut it.
Cut, print, put it in a movie.
Oh, thank you, Jim Henson's son, Brian.
Oh, that was fantastic. The ending, the beginning. Hey, it was just got me all together. Well done.
Thank you. We're not even going to talk about last week of Nick's Picks because that tease broke because of that John Wolford safety idea play, which was genius for us Rams, but bad for our picks. So, Dean, why don't you go through and give us your mortal lock of the week before we keep going with these picks of mine?
I saw a crazy stat. I think there are 9 home underdogs this year. I mean, this week. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Vegas doesn't know what to do with this week, but we'll get into that. They like the lines are so close.
That's pretty crazy. I can't imagine who they all are, and I know you're going to go through them all, but my quick pick, I think I'm only 0 for 1 on picks, so I'm going to go back to even with this pick. I'm going to go Rams money line. Can you parlay that with them covering the spread?
No.
You can't do that. Rams money line, and that's all I got, Rams money line.
Rams money line, minus 210. Good luck, Dean.
Thanks.
I actually don't have the Rams, which is shocking because I know I always have them. But
damn, let's just minus 310.
Right, Rams?
Is that what you said?
No, minus 210.
It's still.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked it was that high. Yeah, kind of makes me think that there's value on Arizona, but I'm not going to take that because I'm not one of those people. But let's just start off with Lions at Vikings. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for this one. It was in the theme song. But the Lions money line is my first play. First of all, if you're too scared to go money line, the Lions are incredible against the spread. They're 2-0 this year so far. Last year, they were like they covered like 8 games. And at the end of the season, they covered like every single game. The Vikings corners are not it. Just straight up. Their defensive front is going to give Goff and company trouble. But Goff got hit a lot last week, 7 times. Still managed to get to have a day with 4 touchdowns. Plus, the Eagles ran all over the Vikings. Lions have one of the greatest run games in the league through 2 weeks. Who thought we were going to say that? They are kind of hot as hell right now, and I'm rolling with them. Divisional rival at plus 204 money line. I think people are scared to bet on the Lions, but they're also have too much stock in the Vikings. I mean, did they do anything good last week? I can't remember. Lights too bright for Captain Kirk. But look what what the Lions did to the Eagles. They put up 35 points against the Eagles. The Vikings put up 7. Lions money line, starting with an underdog in week 3, 24-32, Lions W. And, like, I don't think I'm crazy for that pick. I really don't. I really don't feel crazy.
No, I saw a stat. DeAndre Swift averages a first down per carry. So he's averaging more than 10 yards per carry.
That is absurd.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. And you know what? The team feels like they're rolling. They get a good vibe here. They got a couple, like after this, it's like Seattle and the Patriots and then the Cowboys. So they could, you know, even if they lose, I think they definitely cover. But if they lose, I think they may be rolling a little bit.
Interesting. Thanksgiving game could have some meaning this year for the Lions. How about that? They're not going to
be. Yeah, but they play the freaking Bills.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, Packers at Bucks. Why would anyone trust the Bucks? I mean, they played the crippled Cowboys. They barely scraped by the Saints, even though the GOAT, Tom Brady, made a bunch of hissy fits. It annoyed me that people were okay with him being a little bish, but not when LeBron complains to the refs. They call him LeFraud, and now he's LeBald. Anyway, I like what the Packers do more in the regular season than the Bucks. They always have an amazing record. Rodgers puts the team on his back, and they just blow out the Bears like they always do. It gives Rodgers a chance to get back on the rhythm. Rodgers is the kind of guy who needs one of those kicks in the ass to get started. And weirdly, it was the Vikings that did it to them. I didn't see that coming. I didn't like what I saw from Tom last week. He looks weak. It looks like he's making business decisions by throwing the ball fast so he doesn't get hurt. The game is a win-win for us Rams fans. We like to see these NFC Titans lose. So it makes me happy just to watch this game and see him duke it out. And I'm watching with a Packers fan. My buddy Lucas is going to be in town. So nice. I'm going to go 13-19 Packers, a weird low-scoring game, but Crosby, for whatever reason, goes off.
Yeah, it could be a low-scoring game. I think it's what's really interesting is Mike Evans appealed that suspension, that one-game suspension. John Runyon is the head of the appeal department team, and John Runyon's son, John Runyon Jr., plays right guard for the Packers. To keep Mike Evans out of the game, I felt like that was I would have had, I don't know, just reviewing the tape, I would have allowed Mike Evans to play after he pushes Marshawn. But that's just me.
Well,
but it's a little strange, so I understand why you're edging towards the Packers.
Yeah, for the pick, it does make me happy. And they're even money, which is always nice. So you bet 100, you win 100. Or you bet 300 and you win 300, apparently, if those are someone's units.
Like, Nick, the appeal came in, and it was John Runyon. And do you remember James Thrash from the Eagles? James Trash, they used to call him around here.
Oh, I remember that.
From Runyon to James Thrash. Like, that was the appeal department. I don't know why it's the 2004 Eagles making all those decisions, but, it goes towards your Packers pick.
Interesting. Moving on. Falcons at Seattle. Weird game. that only Warios will bet on. But here it is, and you got a Wario right here. I honestly like what I've seen from the Falcons offense. What they brought to the table is it's kind of impressive. And nobody had this team thinking that they were going to be able to, you know, actually compete, and they have been. It's truly a magic show, or an illusion show, if you want to get all Arrested Development about it. They don't do anything great, but they let Mariota be himself, and I don't think Seattle is good at anything besides goal line defense. And look, with a game like this, let's be honest, you really are flipping a coin, right?
Sure.
I'm picking the side that's not in our division. Small units on this one, but it allows me to have another team to watch while the Rams potentially let me down, but I hope they don't.
No.
But like, you know, if Stafford throws a pick, I can just I can go do one click over to Falcons at Seattle.
Yeah, that Falcons in Seattle game may end in a tie.
Yeah, I could see something weird like that.
Something weird could happen.
And then quick pick, I'm gonna give you two. Broncos over San Fran. I know it's not Pete Carroll, but Russ usually tears apart San Francisco, so let's run with that. And then Ravens -3 over the Pats. Don't see the Ravens going down 1-2 against two teams that they could have beat. Caveat, watch to see if Lamar plays. I know he was questionable earlier in the day. I haven't checked again. He's my fantasy quarterback. I think he goes off. I think they beat them by a lot.
Yeah.
So let's just run it back real fast. Lions over the Vikings at +210. Packers over Tampa, which is even. Falcons over Seattle at +105. Giants at Cowboys. Wait, did I say Giants Cowboys?
No.
No. So I'm going to take
that pick.
I'm going to take that one out. I guess that was originally in the roster. You know what?
I see it. Cowboys could potentially be like +115, +120 in that game. Might be some value there.
I'm just going to take it out. I don't like it as a part of as a part of Nick's picks, even though I'm the one who did it. I did more research on it, and I was like, this feels like a stay away. It's just a Monday night, so yeah. It's tantalizing. And then lastly, the quick picks: Broncos over San Francisco +105, Ravens -3 over the Patriots -110. Lots of Vegas not knowing what's going on; they don't know which way to lean. That's a week where I feel like you should take advantage. Also, this is just a little extra thing. It has nothing to do with Nick's picks. But they announced that the Mario movie trailer is going to release the day before my birthday, October 6th. So I thought I just thought that was cool. Yeah. Stoked for that.
And who do they play on this? Is there a game? When's your birthday? Is it a Sunday or a Monday?
My birthday, I think, is a Friday.
Actually. Friday. So that's Sunday. They play on the 9th. They play the Cowboys the 9th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. Mario movie, Nick's birthday, Cowboys weekend.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Good combination.
Stay safe, fellas. Liquid. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun times to be had.
Yeah, try to see Nick over that 4 or 5 day span. He's probably going to be having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would if I were you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for another, getting all the way to the end of Nick's picks. Oh, wow. The Steelers game just went over. The over just hit 17-23. Wow.
Hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a game on Sunday. Feels like we personally have games when we do this podcast, but in the way that we're dressed. But it's time. Start stacking wins. Thank you guys so much for listening. Greatly appreciated. Everybody that sends messages, I could not thank you guys enough, or leaves reviews or subscribes on YouTube. The caller segment is going to be next Thursday. We're going to do a quick 10-minute San Francisco preview because we've seen them play 100 times. And then Knicks picks, and then we're going to have some callers.
Nice.
And they can talk about whatever they want, as long as it's Rams-related, or if they want to go outside of the box, that's in play too. So send us a DM with your email if you want to join the show potentially next week.
Yeah. And then also, I'm going to do a little giveaway. This shirt right here, the one I'm wearing, the NFL Blitz, the homage one, this really, really comfortable, great fit. You have to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And then screenshot those things and DM it to our Instagram or Twitter or wherever, me or Dean, personally, it doesn't matter. And then I'll pick somebody and they're gonna get this cool shirt.
Sweet. Love it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you for listening, guys. We love you. Horns up.
Horns up, baby. Who's house?
Graham's house. Peace.